Sports Radio Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly. We'll be with you tonight just before 6 when we turn things over to the Braves Radio Network. Game 4 of this 4-game set as the Braves wrap up this series with the Miami Marlins. And then they get everything set up for the weekend as far as the rotation, as far as the playoffs beginning next week. So they're in really nice shape here as they wrap up the regular season. First things first, just want to take care of business and continue their winning ways. They have now won 4 straight games, the first 3 in this series against the Marlins, third straight year as far as the division champs. And they don't have to, with that win last night, they don't have to worry about the Marlins pulling a Central Florida and saying, hey, we got the same record as the Braves. How come we're not the National League East co-champs? So
it was close there for a second. It almost happened.
You can throw that out the window now.
The Braves fans can rest easily now.
Well, they'll rest easily when they win this, at least this first series coming up next week.
Yeah. It's all fun and games once you get bounced out of the first 2 games.
All right, so week 3 of the NFL kicks off tonight. And, you know, there's some storylines. You know, we keep waiting. You know, if this game had been later, maybe it would have been the debut for Tua Tagovailoa, but that's not going to be the case. So if you're a fan of the Titans, you're still going to be a fan of the Fins tonight because Jacksonville 1-1. They are 3-point favorites at home taking on the Dolphins. And by the way, I like the Dolphins in this game. It's kind of like similar situation with Vegas at home against the Saints. On paper, it did not look good for the Raiders. I like the Dolphins plus the 3 tonight against Jacksonville.
I mean, Jacksonville's defense is just not good, and they're letting up a lot of points as it is.
And these are games that Ryan Fitzpatrick wins.
Yeah, well,
because games that don't really matter,
right.
I mean, he is spot on. He could be a Hall of Famer in games like this.
Between weeks like 3 and weeks 15, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick last season was the number one quarterback or number two quarterback in the league when it just didn't matter. And so, you know, we're probably going to see that tonight where it's going to be a Bengals-Browns idea. It's, oh, you know, two bad teams are playing each other. It's, you know, it's not really that interesting. Oh, well, this game's actually fun because they're scoring points. Well, they're scoring points because each other's defenses are terrible. So you can enjoy tonight, but, you know, what's the relative to all of it?
There is one college game tonight, if you just want to watch college football. South Alabama at home. They're 7-point. They're 7-point underdogs at home against Alabama Birmingham. It's one of these things. I don't even know if they necessarily need the points. I like South Alabama, especially if I'm getting 7 tonight. This is just one of those games. It's early on. If you're going to watch one of the two, I would certainly focus more on the NFL game.
You DVRing the college game?
No.
Yeah. you're not getting rid of some burn notices that are in there, right? You're not clearing room for the South Alabama matchup.
I have plenty of room, and to me, it's not worth the effort of having to do the DVR thing and then having to then tomorrow or Saturday pulling the erasing thing. To me, it's just way too much effort.
Just move on from it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see the scrolling ticker on the scoreboard to find out how they did.
Coming up, a lot of chat about the Tennessee matchup on the road Saturday against South Carolina. Also, Vanderbilt on the road against Texas A&M. We'll start a little bit later this hour from a Texas A&M perspective. Mark Passwaters, he's publisher with AggieYell.com. We'll get his thoughts about this matchup. For me, I don't like the matchup from a Vanderbilt perspective, and A&M certainly one of the better teams as far as the SEC West, and you think about a returning quarterback in Kellen Mond. You can make the argument in the preseason he could easily have been above and better than Kyle Trask as far as preseason first team as far as at quarterback. And Kellen Mond, too, one of the things I like about him is that his ability also to, you know, keep drives alive. You know, if you do get some pressure on him and say the receivers are covered, he can extend drives with his legs as well. And so, to me, it comes down to the fact that, you know, they're 30.5-point favorites against Vanderbilt. When you start thinking about the lack of depth, you know, a new quarterback for Vanderbilt, just don't like this matchup at all for Vanderbilt. And so the question, and then you think about the injuries too, and then the number of players that have opted out due to COVID-19. The question will be, can Vanderbilt keep it close? Can they keep it close for a half? And I just don't have a good feeling about this when, as far as Saturday night on the road for Vanderbilt.
Well, and let's be honest here too, and we're not trying to poo-poo on Vanderbilt here, but is there a matchup on the schedule that you like?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there's wins available for Vanderbilt after the first couple of games. You know, we've broken this down because it's not like when you get into South Carolina, they're a juggernaut? No. Missouri, that's where Vanderbilt goes their fourth game on October 17th. Is Missouri a juggernaut? No. Then they get the open week. Then you get Ole Miss, and they've got returning talent as far as quarterback, but it's still Ole Miss. And you've got a new head coach in Lane Kiffin there. So that's a winnable game, and we still don't know exactly what we're going to get as far as Mississippi State, and that's where Vanderbilt will start their month of November. So you look at those, you know, four games, and there's that. If you're going to get a win or two, that's where they are right there.
I just the first week's going to be very telling for them, even though I know who they're playing and everything. It's still
see. I don't think these first two. I don't think you're going to learn anything.
I think they get beat down so early that even in the season, you're going to start seeing players just kind of check out mentally.
Well, if you prepare yourself, you know, and not allow, like, for example, in 2017, you know, you lose bad at home against Alabama, and then it had a carryover effect. If you just prepare yourself and can just let it go and not allow a very bad loss all of a sudden impact you the next game or the next couple of games, I mean, that's going to be the key for Vanderbilt. Whether or not we're talking 2-8, 3-7, 1-9, whatever that record is.
Yeah, we're just talking about kids playing out there, and they're going to be the joke of the SEC for those first 2 weeks. I hope it doesn't go that way. I'd love to see Vanderbilt sneak a win or two out there, but I can see them just constantly getting beat down, not only on the field, but on social media, all these different places, and this team just kind of mentally check out very quickly, and then you'll see, you know, Derek Mason check out literally and physically.
But you say this, but look, Missouri, which once again, Vanderbilt will take Missouri on October 17th. Well, before Missouri gets to Vanderbilt, they host Alabama. They're already having a numbers issue due to COVID-19 and other things. So they're going to get beat by four touchdowns coming up on Saturday night. Then the very next week, Missouri is in Knoxville against Tennessee. And then they are in Baton Rouge taking on LSU. So you're talking about Vanderbilt, you know, with A&M and then hosting LSU. Missouri has it even tougher with the fact that they get Bama, Tennessee, and LSU before they get to Vanderbilt. So that's why if you can just keep your head and your attitude moving forward, and I think this is where the new coordinators really help from an offensive standpoint and a defensive standpoint. I like their enthusiasm. And I think with their energy that they bring to the table, that is one of the reasons why I don't think Vanderbilt will get lost after the first 2 weeks and why I give them opportunities to win some games there in that four-game stretch.
So Missouri, we'll call that the Mental Fortitude Bowl.
Well, absolutely.
Whoever can hold it up longest.
But look, before that, though, Vanderbilt, they host South Carolina. And once again, we're not talking like a juggernaut there in South Carolina. And we go to – and here's South Carolina before they play Vanderbilt. South Carolina, same situation. Look, Tennessee should handle South Carolina Saturday night. The question will be, can Jeremy Pruitt get the team playing well early instead of waiting two or three games? But then South Carolina, they have to go to Florida before they play Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. So same kind of situation from a mental standpoint, back-to-back weeks. That's why South Carolina, to me, is a winnable game for Vanderbilt. Missouri is as well. And then as far as the two Mississippi schools, we don't know what the attitude of those programs are going to be. We don't know how COVID-19 impacts either program. We don't know if everybody's on board with the first-year head coach, whether it's Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss or Mike Leach at Mississippi State. And that's why those four games, there's wins there available for Vanderbilt.
Hopefully.
All right, Larry in Huntsville, welcome to the show.
Well, since you know me very well, and I've known you for years, and Roger knows you too, I wanted to call your show for the first time and let everybody in Nashville know that I've known you since time immemorial. But
well, I'm glad you. By the way, this is somebody. If this is the right Larry, Larry can attest that I actually have some game with regards to my bowling ability. Do I not?
Yes, you do.
Thank you very much. So for the fine folks, I always talk about Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. I know Mike Schmidt and the family like to give me grief, but here is somebody that actually knows that I've had my heyday as far as a bowler in my past.
Twinkle Toes Franks.
Hey, let me tell you something for the folks in Nashville. Johnny's a fine bowler. When I bowled with him years ago, he was very, very talented. I'm not going to brag on him too much, but the guy has talent. I mean,
thank you very much.
He knows what he's doing.
And what are we talking, like a 120, 130?
Stop.
He bowled. I watched him bowl two or three 200 games. Of course, we were much younger then. So, I mean, you know, I'm not exactly young anymore, but I've listened to Johnny for years. This is the first real opportunity I've had to call his show. Because I guess I've known Johnny for how long, Johnny? Maybe 25 years, probably?
Oh, longer than that. And here's the other thing, too. Larry is a big Tennessee fan in Alabama-Auburn country.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did want to ask you guys something. And I want y'all to think about this for a minute. He just got a contract extension today. Jeremy Pruitt did.
Right.
And you can begin to see the team kind of mold, you know, getting better players and better players. Johnny, I wanted to hear your take on, I mean, I watched the Tennessee-South Carolina game last year. I remember the play, the big long play on about the second play of the game where they scored. The kid's a great receiver. But I am concerned about one thing in this Tennessee program. They're beginning to learn how to win, which is good, but you're not quite there yet. Do you guys think if their offensive line, now I'm using just offensive and defensive lines, can control the line of scrimmage, they can begin to get first downs and second downs when they couldn't before. Quarterback play is still going to be something they're going to have to wait because Jared is, I hope he's come around a little bit, but the kid behind him from Georgia, he has got a lot of talent, but he's not got a lot of experience. I want to hear what you guys think about that.
Well, the players have been bragging about Jared Garantano, that he has the full control of this offense. The offensive line, one of the top three offensive lines in the SEC, along with Alabama and Kentucky. But to be, you know, we talk about Jeremy Pruitt, and he did indeed get the extension to 2025. But here's the thing. You know, before you talk about Tennessee in that same breath with Georgia and Florida, you know, here's South Carolina on Saturday night. I on paper, Tennessee is better than South Carolina. Tennessee should go into Columbia, South Carolina, and get a win, and a comfortable win. You shouldn't have to be waiting to the final seconds to determine who's going to win this game. Because here's the thing, Tennessee in the last 10 years, 4-6 against South Carolina. Last year with the win, they snapped a three-game losing streak. For Tennessee to be, you know, thinking about being great again, you have to take care of business year in and year out against, you know, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt in the East before you can start thinking about being in that same conversation with Georgia and Florida.
That is true. That is very true. I just hope they can go up there with the right attitude. Of course, with COVID-19, with the contract tracing, I think all the teams are in the same boat because I think it's just a matter of having to monitor the kids. I really hope they can pull it off. I think they will. I think they can do it. But there's just areas I got to kind of concern because South Carolina, the kid that's starting in South Carolina is very good, but he's a transfer and his knees are shot, so he can't move around too well. Now, that may give Tennessee incentive to kind of go after him. But, listen, you guys have a great show. John, I've listened to you for years. Again, I'm going to tell all the people in Nashville, I've known you 20-plus years, and he does, no matter what they've got to tell you, he does have bowling ability.
Thank you very much, Larry. I appreciate that. Checks in the mail to you.
Yes, sir. You have a good day, John. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy.
That was a big check, right?
No. Speaking of bowlers, that guy could bowl. I mean, we're talking about he could average in some leagues like 220 plus. I mean, he was that talented.
I enjoy some bowling every once in a while.
I've got my patch. I've got the 600 series patch and all that. I've got like a high of 250 plus. So I've got the patches. I've got the proof. And I did it in the league. It wasn't just like I was just showing up on any given Saturday or something. And so there we have somebody.
I've never done a league. I've always wanted to, but I've just never. Well, let me say this. I thought it would be fun. I just never ended up doing it.
The leagues that we're talking about, very competitive.
Really?
And we were teenagers, but still very competitive.
Not a lot of chicken tenders out there.
No, I mean, no. They,
that's the kind of league I need to
well,
get to.
Well, that really ramped up and amped up your concentration, because you would definitely hear about it if you were not bringing it on any given weekend.
Well, there you go.
All right, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Open segment coming up a little bit later. Once again, we'll visit with Mark Passwaters out College Station, Texas is where he is. He's the publisher of AggieYell.com, as we get his thoughts on this matchup Saturday night with A&M hosting Vanderbilt. But your phone calls next, 615-844-5600. What are you looking forward to seeing, especially from an SEC perspective this weekend? Give us a call. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic's busy as expected right now here on the South Loop, the West Loop. The biggest delay remains 40 westbound out in Dixon County as they work that accident on 40 westbound right near 840. Before you get to 840, that's really slow through Kingston Springs. OHB at Preserve Boulevard, there's been a crash there. South Nashville also tied up there in the 2300 block at Clarksville Pike. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. It kicks off tomorrow through November 1st. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings, here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissants, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m., and make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Showers likely, cloudy, with a high near 67, with the east-northeast wind around 10 miles an hour. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 61. And Friday, a 10% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a high near 77. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. Don't forget, coming up at 5:55, Braves baseball tonight, wrapping up this series with the Miami Marlins, 6:10 for first pitch. And then the Braves will wrap up the regular season this weekend, taking on the Boston Red Sox at home. And then the Braves can start thinking about playoffs starting on Tuesday.
Playoffs.
But look,
we have that drop.
You wonder, with everything falling into place now with Fried, although Max Fried only went the one inning last night, just wanted to.
Well, now you know.
But you know, he gave up the two runs, but now I'm not making a big deal about
now,
that.
Now this is like. This is like senioritis, kind of.
The only thing about that was it may have hurt him with regards to winning the Cy Young, but we'll see. But it, on the
Cy
other,
Young
the
World
other,
Series.
The other side of that, though, Freddie Freeman just trying to put the finishing touches on an MVP year. I'd be shocked if Freddie Freeman does not win the most valuable player as far as the National League. Brought to the table. I mean, you're leading the league, and you're leading the league as far as hitting, leading the league as far as doubles, double digits as far as home runs. I mean, a couple of grand slams to your credit this year.
Back to back, right?
A little bit
back to back games with grand slams, or was it like back to back days?
Two and 3 days or
something like
that.
Crazy.
And he had waited, you know, he had never had one until the first one, and then he had to wait all of what, day or two to get the second one, which was the amazing part about that.
Well, we had some bad news with my Royals today. I mean, it's bad news, good news kind of thing. You know, it's a guy had an amazing career, but Alex Gordon retiring. I have more respect for any player that sticks with a team his entire career, because in a world where everybody just jumps ship so quick.
It's tough to do it right now.
And especially with the Royals. I mean, if you remember, the Royals were... He played in like some of the worst teams for the Royals, like some like really less than 30 wins a season teams. They were terrible.
Now, there's still some spots to be had, especially in the National League side of things. But if the playoffs began today in the National League, Dodgers would be the 1 seed taking on the Reds, the 8 seed. The Braves would be the number 2 seed taking on the San Francisco Giants. Then you get the Chicago Cubs as the 3 seed. But once again, Braves, Cubs, that could flip-flop over the weekend. But right now, it'd be the Cubs as a 3 seed taking on the Miami Marlins, the 6 seed. And once again, this is only their third playoff appearance since 97. The other two, they won the World Series in both of those years. And then finally, the Padres. Watch out for the Padres. They made all the right moves before the trade deadline. The Padres... is going to be a very dangerous team. Look, if the Braves don't make the run and don't win at all, I'm pulling for the San Diego Padres. And right now, they would be slated to take on the 5 seed, which would be the St. Louis Cardinals. All of those, the 1 through 4 would be the home team, and it's a best 2 out of 3 situation. And all three of those games, the third game, if necessary, would be on the all at the 4 seed side. So it's not like they're going to travel after, you know, 1 week or whatever.
If only they could change those uniforms up a little bit. Maybe that would be... I don't want to see those in October.
All right, 615-844-5600. Mike in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm in Murfreesboro, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong
mic.
Got the wrong mic there.
You know this, Mike.
All right, Mike. How are you doing, buddy?
Fine. Hey, I know you were talking about the Atlanta pitcher a few minutes ago. They didn't take him out because he gave up 2 runs. They took him out because he hurt his ankle when he made that play to first base.
Right. Well, it's one of those things, precaution. If it had been a playoff game, I don't think he had been taken out or going anywhere.
No, I don't either. But that's why they took him out, because he did hurt his ankle. And he is a good pitcher.
And tonight, the second guy the Braves are going to need, if you're talking about a run in the playoffs, Ian Anderson, the rookie on the mound tonight, 3-1 so far, 2.36 earned run average. And to me, as far as Freed and what Anderson brings to the table, that'll be the determination how far the Braves will advance in the playoffs.
Well, you're overlooking one guy. The guy from Vanderbilt.
Well, I'm not putting pressure.
Yes, you are.
I'm not going to overlook him. I'm just not going to put pressure on him, only because...
Well, he pitched real well last 2 games.
Well, no, he pitched real well last game. He pitched above average 2 games ago. But, you know, 2 games, let's just not, like, put all the pressure on him whether or not the Braves make it to the World Series. Although... the Braves are going to certainly have to count on him or Bryce Wilson, one of the two, to step
Wilson
it up.
Wilson did pretty good, too.
Yeah, he actually did. But the question will be, can they keep that consistency that, you know, it'd be... Look, he doesn't. They don't have to be anything close to Max Fried, for example. Just give the Braves bats a chance is all we're looking for. Don't give up 5 or 6 runs early and having to come from behind.
I tell you what, if you took all the Braves, all the pitchers around the leagues... that graduated from that were at Vanderbilt, they wouldn't be nobody in the playoffs.
Well, I was hoping the Braves would have found a way to get Mike Minor, the former Vanderbilt standout, before the August trade deadline. That didn't happen, but you know, that was the biggest one that I wanted. And to me, he seemed like he could have been obtainable as well for the Braves to bring him aboard. But, you know, who knows? You know, look, with the bats, the way the Braves are hitting, when you've got that kind of potent type of lineup from top to bottom, You know, you don't have to have, your pitcher, shutting out the opponent. I mean, you're going to score runs with this offense.
They are scoring a heap of runs. They made some good moves as far as the guy right behind Freddie Freeman. He's no slouch.
Yeah, Marcell Ozuna, that was one of the best, forget about Cole Hamels. Ozuna makes us forget about how bad Hamels was as far as offseason acquisitions, because Ozuna's batting .327, 17 home runs and 53 runs driven in. And my thing is, how come you haven't already extended him? How come you don't have him under contract for next year and beyond?
They need you and me down there to do that extending, I believe.
Amen, brother.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. All right, 615-844-5600. Mike in Melrose, welcome to the show.
Well, maybe if he UT football coach is 12-11, he'd get a big extension. That's saying something for a guy who lost. I know they finished strong, but remember those first two games they lost, they weren't so high on them then.
No, and that's the big thing about Tennessee coming into this matchup on Saturday night against South Carolina, Mike, that's like – if Tennessee is, quote-unquote, turning the corner and start moving from good to great, they have to come out strong and take care of business against teams like this that, on paper, they're supposed to win.
Yeah. Well, to your Braves, they're probably battling each other as well as Mookie Betts for the MVP. So Ozuna's beating them in home runs and RBIs.
Something tells me, though, Freddie Freeman is going to get the love.
Well, he is, Saul. I do like watching him hit. Let's talk about your bowling game. Now, I've kind of doubted it now. It all came because I think one day you said you almost bowled a 300 game.
No. Well, I did actually, because I messed up in the ninth and I had an open, and then and so that's why I ended up with a high, a 250 plus. Yeah, you can't open. If you're trying to get a 300, you can't have any opens, and the last place that you want to have an open frame is the ninth.
Well, I'm not one to brag on my bowling. I did get a 230. I bowled in a league in Huntsville with Dave and Stephanie, and then I've also broken 200 one other time. But it's not easy. Me and my brother and dad, we want to see you bowl.
Well, it was nice having somebody unsolicited to be able to to actually back up the fact that I actually used to have talent.
We want to see it, though. They're going to roll out that first ball in Murfreesboro tonight, so you let us know when you can make it somewhere, man.
Isn't that the coolest thing, by the way? So now we're talking about enhanced experience for Strike and Spare, not only in Hendersonville at Circus World, but this brand-new location down in Murfreesboro in the old Sears building.
And this is the good weather for it. It's funny how rain used to be the bad thing in the baseball business, but in the bowling business, it's a good thing.
Amen, brother.
Take care.
Hey, thank you. So once again, check them out. And speaking of Strike and Spare, don't forget other locations to serve you. Donaldson Plaza, also the Tusculum area as well. But you'll always have a great time when you think about Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. And by the way, if you want more information on all the locations, Hendersonville, Murfreesboro, Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, the Tusculum area, and other parts of as far as in the Southeast and beyond, check them out online at strikeandspare.com. Coming up on the other side, a chance to visit and have an opportunity to talk some Texas A&M in this matchup with Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday night. Mark Passwaters, publisher with AggieYell.com. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's still dragging along out in Dixon County on that crash 40 westbound. Before you get to 840, I mean, that's a big-time delay out through there. Extra time now as you leave Nashville headed towards Memphis. 500 block of Donaldson Pike on an accident. Still on the scene of an accident there in the 6200 block of Eaton's Creek. It's up in Jolton. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. It kicks off tomorrow through November 1st. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Vicki Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
Yeah, I'm done. That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, we'll have the opportunity to visit with Ryan Callahan over in Knoxville. He covers the Volunteers with GoVols247.com. Also, Adam Sparks around 5:35. He is the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. But right now, chance to visit and get a perspective of this Vanderbilt matchup from an A&M standpoint. Mark Passwaters, publisher with AggieYell.com, part of the Rivals family of websites. Mark, here we are, game week, and finally things kicking off coming up on Saturday.
Hallelujah. It's great to finally get here.
Look, there's been like Auburn, Tennessee, Missouri, a handful of programs inside the SEC, and certainly when you think about it from a standpoint across the country too, programs having their issues with COVID-19. For the most part, how has Jimbo Fisher's group, how have they handled this leading up to this game on Saturday?
They have had zero positive tests since the start of training camp, which I guess is now pushing almost 2 months. So they've done a very good job. They had a handful of cases when everybody came back in early June. But since then, they have actually been very good with avoiding that. I think that is a credit to the players and their self-discipline and staying away from potential problems. I mean, shoot, A&M's a massive campus, you know, with an awful lot of people there, so that makes it even more impressive. And I think it's a credit to the coaching staff for drilling into these guys that they need to be safe and they need to be careful with who they hang out with and all those other things that come with it. So as far as it stands now, with the exception of opt-outs, they should be 100% on Saturday.
You know, that's strange when we hear this, and then what, last week, here's Ed Orgeron with LSU talking about, for the most part, almost everybody on his team at one point or another has tested positive for COVID-19 or been impacted by COVID-19. So we go from that extreme to what you're describing here with Jimbo Fisher's group.
Yeah, I think that there are two trains of thought about this thing. One is that you have to keep your kids, almost isolated. Be very disciplined with, you know, where you go, who you hang out with, you know, do everything largely as a team if at all possible. And I think that's the approach that Jimbo has taken. Orgeron, on the other hand, he may not be overly broken up that his guys have had this disease, which has a 99.997%. Recovery rate for people under the age of 24. So, he might be going for herd immunity. It may be cold or callous to say, but, you know, let's look at it this way. We're going to get into the middle of the season, and LSU is not going to have to worry about having a game postponed because of COVID-19 on their part. Maybe the other guys, but they should be totally healthy. So, you know, it all depends on how you look at it and how you approach it. I think that there can be an argument made either way, but certainly you don't want a bunch of people sick this week.
How is Jimbo Fisher and the squad, how are they approaching this matchup coming up on Saturday with Vanderbilt? Are they looking at it from perspective, look, it's this week's opponent, this is what we're going to have to do, or are they just more or less focused on what they have to do and what they need to execute on offense and defense?
Oh, I think that it's definitely what they have to do. And that is something that he has preached since he got to A&M. Every week isn't about the other guys. It's about what they do and how they execute. And I think that that is even more important this week because Vandy is, you know, banged up, a lot of opt-outs. Obviously, COVID did hit them and has taken an effect. On the other hand, A&M has Alabama next week. So what you need to do is get out there, execute your offense properly, see what you can do with these new guys at receiver and at running back, and then, you know, have the defense go out there, be solid, don't make any mental mistakes, prepare yourself, and see if they can, you know, sort out the odds and ends of their rotation so they have everything ready to go when they go to Tuscaloosa next week.
Let's start with Kellen Mond. Do you think he takes a little personally that he is preseason second team as voted on by the coaches behind Trask as far as down in Florida? Because Kyle Trask, first team preseason by the coaches that just came out last week. And here's Kellen Mond, and you think about what he has brought to the table the past couple of years. Is this one of these things that he can use that as a chip on his shoulder?
Sure, if he wants to. I think that he put a chip on his own shoulder by going back and just reviewing his play from last year. I've said this several times on the site, but Mond is his own biggest critic this year. He has been very harsh in his own personal assessment of his play last year. And if he's gone back and has done what he said, where he's watched every play and figured out what he did wrong, then, you know, if he can adjust and avoid those mistakes, then he will be the first team All-SEC quarterback when it's all said and done. But I think, you know, you and I have discussed this many times, Johnny, Kellen Mond's biggest adversary is himself. If he goes out there and just, you know, reacts and trusts his talent and his eyes and what he's been taught, he'll be very good. If he sits there and tries to think his way through things, then he will self-destruct. And that, I think, is just the biggest issue for him. There's nobody more talented in the conference than him, and if he just goes out and trusts his instincts, then he'll be fine.
I mean, look, it wasn't like Texas A&M or Kellen Mond, you know, in particular, were awful last year. And if you look at the 8-5 record, three times they played the number one team in the country in Clemson, Alabama, and LSU when they popped up on the schedule. But the bottom line is just because what happened in 2018, especially that near miss against Clemson, you know, the expectations were so much higher last year. And look, the numbers are decent with what Mond put on the table and what he was able to accumulate during the course of the year. But I think because of the expectations were even higher, it was gonna, if without, you know, a double-digit win season, you were not going to be able to live up to that.
Yeah, and I think that the things that loomed large in people's minds last year and to the extent this year were 430 yards against Clemson, who ended up being the national champion, and what he did in the fourth quarter and all those overtimes at LSU where he was just absolutely outstanding. And that then he went in against those two very same opponents in 2019, and he was terrible. You know, there's no other way to put it. And honestly, they were an 8-5 team with an 8-5 quarterback. On the other hand, this year they've got a lot more talent. They could be an 8-2 team this year, but it all depends on, you know, Kellen Mond playing to that level. And if he does do that, then I think that he's got the supporting cast around him where they can do special things.
Speaking of special, how special is Isaiah Spiller, the running back for Texas A&M? He's not a household name yet, but just under 1,000 yards rushing last year. He returns for his sophomore campaign. Look, I think he certainly takes a lot of pressure off Kellen Mond, which will then be able to open up the passing game for Mond as well. But Spiller, you know, I loved watching him play last year.
Oh, yeah. And people forget, he was just a true freshman. He didn't start the season. Shashawn Corbin did. So he really was thrown into the fire against Clemson and improved significantly as the season went on. He didn't benefit from an offensive line that, you know, like Mond, did not meet expectations last year. And I think that he had some freshman jitters and had to get used to things early on. But he was really the only Aggie that impressed in the LSU game. Everybody else was just awful. But he looked like he belonged on that football field. He was good in the bowl game, even though he was banged up. He had some very nice performances late in the season. And, you know, he's 6 foot one, 225 pounds, has good speed. I wrote something last night. I said, does anybody really want to tackle him 20 times a game? You know, he's a good size, quality SEC back. And then you take Anaya Smith, who's a speed guy and is a nightmare in space, and he's the changeup. The Aggies have some options at running back that people don't know about yet, but are probably going to figure out pretty quickly.
You know, sometimes teams, especially with returning players, and this, you know, you're talking about Texas A&M, they return a lot of starters, a lot of letter winners, 70-plus letter winners. Was it 17 starters coming back from last year's group? The regular season, now, they did get the bowl win against Oklahoma State, but losing a close game against Georgia and then just not being a part of that game at all against LSU, getting blasted 50-7, did that have any kind of carryover effect? Did that loom at all as far as preparation for this 2020 season?
Oh, I think you'll find 50-7 in the locker room. They won't admit it, but it's there. I mean, how could it not be? If you're sitting there and you beat LSU, you're the last team to beat LSU, and they came looking for revenge last year and wiped you out, now you have the veteran team. The expectations for your bunch is higher, and they're coming back to your house. Yeah, absolutely, they should be looking for payback, and 50-7 should be something that they're looking at. But I think that they also need to look at what they did against Clemson, how they played against Auburn, and how they played against Alabama. And they ought to know that that level of play, that caliber, is going to lead you back to a fourth place position in the SEC West. And with this level of talent and experience, that's just not good enough. They should be looking for more.
Vanderbilt will be starting a quarterback that has not attempted a pass as far as at a Power 5 conference level. So whoever that starting quarterback is going to be, plus you're talking about an offensive line for Vanderbilt, a lot of depth issues as far as going into this matchup with A&M. Does that certainly, when you hear that, and if you're a Bobby Brown or anybody on defense, you're going to pin your ears back? What's the game plan on defense for Texas A&M?
Oh, they're coming. There's no doubt. They're coming. They have a lot of options up front. This is one of the best defensive lines in the SEC. And again, I don't think people realize that yet. Bobby Brown is a name that a lot of people know, first team All-SEC. But DeMarvin Leal is a sophomore who had a very good second half of last season. He's a former five-star. I think he's going to be a superstar. He's 290 pounds, but he has speed to play outside, the strength to play inside, so he can be versatile. They have guys that are big, that can rush the passer, but are more of an asset against the run. Then they can rotate some really good speed rushers in and go after people in passing situations. So the biggest thing that A&M has needed the last couple of years is the ability to get after the quarterback without blitzing. And I think that this year, with guys like Tyree Johnson, Jeremiah Martin, Donnell Harris, who's a very talented true freshman out of Miami, they finally have those guys. And I think that Leal, in spite of his size, may well lead the team in sacks. He's just that good. So, yeah, they know that they're going to be facing a beaten-up bunch, inexperienced quarterback, an offensive line that is probably operating with some guys who would be third-stringers under normal circumstances. They're going to look to take advantage because, you know, they need to go out there, see what they can do, and then, you know, get that sense of confidence, because obviously the Alabama offensive line in week two is going to be just a titch better.
The four teams that A&M play this year from the East, they get, of course, Vanderbilt Saturday night. They follow that up with Florida week three. They also have matchups later with on the road against South Carolina, against Tennessee. I have to be honest with you, you know, going into this game, knowing how many players that LSU has, you know, they have to replace from last year's national title team, on paper, A&M is the second best team in the West.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that you take a look at Alabama, and they're just flat good. They still have a lot of those guys from last year, in spite of all those first round draft picks. It's amazing how they do that. And but LSU lost so many players. There are so many questions there. Auburn lost a lot on both lines. Mississippi State and Ole Miss are breaking in new coaches and new schemes with virtually no acclimation time. And A&M's got a bunch of seniors, and they've got guys that have played a lot of football. So, yeah, I think they're the second-best team in the West going in. They may be able to compete with Alabama, but, you know, the first thing they got to do is get over their own obstacles, their self-doubt, things that have plagued this program for years. And if they can do that and they play with confidence and be smart and just let their talent dictate, then they should be good.
Have you been hearing anything other than Vanderbilt this week around the team? I mean, because Alabama's next week, a road trip to Tuscaloosa, is the 100% focus on Vanderbilt Saturday?
Well, let's put it this way. You bring up Alabama, you get politely told to shut up. And I don't think that they have exclusively looked at Vandy, because obviously Alabama is the, you know, more than just the elephant in the room. They are the elephant. But, you know, one thing that Fisher has preached since he got to A&M is you got to take it a week at a time. You cannot overlook anyone. And in spite of the situation Vanderbilt is in, this is the SEC. Those guys are good football players. And if you overlook them, they will bite you. And it may not be a loss, but you don't want to get embarrassed. You don't want to lose confidence in week one. So, yeah, I think that the majority of their focus has been on Vandy. But if they know what the schedule holds. They know who's coming in week two and week three, and they want to get off to a good start.
This will be only the third meeting between Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. All have occurred since A&M joined the league back in 2012, 2013, a meeting in College Station, and then a meeting here in 2015 with Texas A&M winning that one 25-0. So only the third time these two teams have faced off against each other. Saturday night is the place and time in College Station. Hey, do me a favor, leading up to the game, plus throughout the season, let the listeners know again how they can keep up with all your SEC coverage.
Sure. We're at aggieyell.com, like you said. We've got a good deal going on now where if you get an annual subscription, which is basically $4 a month, you get half off and free gear. It doesn't have to be A&M gear. We'll cover virtually everybody, so it won't just be A&M stuff. And I'm also on Twitter at MVP Rivals. And, you know, if you like Snark, then I'm your guy.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate it, buddy. Listen, stay safe. All my best to you and your family, and we look forward to talking to you often throughout the season.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Mark Passwaters. Once again, aggieyell.com is the site, part of the Rivals family of websites. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. If you want to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. A wreck with injuries over in Hermitage. It's at the railroad crossing there at Tulip Grove Road. The fire department's been dispatched to that location. Just heavy out here on all the major outbound routes. It's still slow as you head towards Dixon County, towards Memphis on 40 westbound before you get to 840 on that earlier crash that's had the interstate slow for quite some time. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken. They're online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Earlier in the week, we heard from Denny Hamlin on starting a new team with NBA legend Michael Jordan with Bubba Wallace as their driver. Now, let's hear from legend Michael Jordan. Quote, growing up in North Carolina, my parents would take my brothers, sisters, and me to races, and I've been a NASCAR fan my whole life. The opportunity to own my own race team in partnership with my friend Denny Hamlin and to have Bubba Wallace driving for us is very exciting for me. Historically, NASCAR has struggled with diversity and there have been few black owners. The timing seemed perfect as NASCAR is evolving and embracing social change more and more. End quote. Chip Ganassi Racing announced their new driver for 2021 in their number 42 car, and they did so in fitting fashion with the total destruction of a watermelon, which means it could only be one driver, right? Ross Chastain.
And I'm not even saying that I would have written it down and planned it this way, but it's the only way I was going to get here. And I made my first truck start just over 10 years ago. And since then, a full-time Xfinity season, I would run for a championship in the playoffs after a championship run in trucks. and then looking at next year to be signed full time, like you said, with a fully funded, you know, fully capable team. A guy like Chip Ganassi, a guy that's world renowned in racing, calls me and wants me to drive his race car is absolutely incredible.
TheFinalLap.com.
What do you want a da-da-da?
What do you want a da-da-da?
I have not a da with a da-da-da.
We could switch to Progressive, da.
Oh, yeah?
We could switch to Progressive and sa.
Mm-hmm.
We could sa and have to buy some za.
Oh, yeah. Let's switch to Progressive, to da, and get some za with the money we saw.
Yeah.
Now we know we're going to da-da-da.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. It might just be the most normal thing you da-da-da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. It's hit movies, current shows, and live sports. News clips, trending bits, and timeless hits.
I want to go to there.
It's Kim and Courtney, Seth and Jimmy, Hoda, Savannah, Benson, and Stabler. It's the best of streaming and the best of TV. And that's why you can't not watch Peacock. Watch for free, upgrade from there. Stream now at PeacockTV.com. These titles plus 35, the English Premier League, and Law & Order SVU streaming now. Content availability may vary over time. Some content requires paid upgrade.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville. He covers the Vols in the SEC for GoVols247.com. Also, Adam Sparks, the Vanderbilt beat writer with the Tennessean, will be a part of the show at 5:35. Leading up to Braves baseball tonight, the fourth and final game of this series with the Marlins. The Braves looking for the sweep as they've taken the first three. And then after that, the Braves will wrap up the regular season this weekend as they take on the Boston Red Sox. You know, back in this conversation, visiting with Mark Passwaters and AggieYell.com, under the radar, Zach, Texas A&M, because everybody said, well, there's LSU, and they're getting all this love and where they're ranked as far as in the top 10, and they return, you know, you think about all the players they lost, especially to the NFL, and here's LSU, they're ranked 5th, A&M ranked 11th, and we're talking about Aggies team, 70-plus letter winners from last year, 17 starters from last year. You've got Kellen Mond back. You've got Isaiah Spiller, who is awesome as a true freshman, just under 1,000 yards rushing as far as on the ground. But you've got an experienced quarterback. To me, this A&M team is the second best team in the West. I put them ahead of LSU. I put them ahead of Auburn as well.
I just can't knock off the national champions until we give us a reason to knock them off. We're going to find out if this Orgeron system is really going to be consistently producing good talent and a good team that's out there every week. And, you know, did you get a chance to catch the 60 minutes?
I didn't watch it.
You didn't get to watch that?
No, because I didn't have an interpreter with me. Well, so that was the big reason why.
The stuff they had, Orgeron talking about his way he got into coaching and everything, working on the shrimp ships for so long, and 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. every night shoveling shrimp. I mean, I fell in love with the guy through that interview. I really did.
But here's the thing. The Aggies almost doubled up, and it's not like the Aggies aren't getting talent. Jimbo Fisher can recruit. He's in his third year. They've got almost twice as many letter winners back as LSU does. Mm-hmm. And they certainly have more than twice of starters back. LSU only returns 8 starters. Now, with LSU, very fortunate where they get teams early on. You know, they're tougher games, A&M, against Alabama, teams like that. They come later in the year for, you know, LSU. They start the year Mississippi State at home, then at Vanderbilt, then they host Missouri. All those other tough games, you know, at Florida, at Auburn, hosting Bama, and then at Texas A&M, they come later.
Yeah.
And so they get a huge break from that standpoint. But here's the thing. If you're a fan of the Aggies And there's a reason why you're paying Jimbo Fisher $75 million over 10 years, and that is this is the time to start to shine. And even if you don't win the West, you better be at least in that conversation. You know, they'll give you, especially early on, because we'll know, because next week A&M has to travel to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. But, you know, this is an A&M team with this kind of talent. They better be in the hunt as far as the West is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you very well could be right, though. We'll see. That these first few weeks will be really telling for that LSU team especially.
I mean, I certainly would have put Kellen Mond first team preseason as far as all SEC. I would put him over Kyle Trask just because of what Mond has been able. And look, even in an off year, he still passed for almost 3,000 yards last year, had more than twice the number of touchdowns to interceptions. And he can still take, you know, do damage on the ground as well. To me, to begin the year, I would have had Mond over Trask from Florida.
We'll see how it all plays out.
All right, hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. As always, we know you have choices each and every day. And we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. Hour number two coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio. WPD.